Hey, y'all, thank you so much for tuning in to this message. We hope that it speaks to your life. And if you have questions, please contact us. You can contact us on the website at thousandhillsranchchurch.com or thousandhillsranchchurch@yahoo.com. And then you can also call us at 580-216-6427. And may God use this message to change your life.
How many of you guys have ever had a situation in your life to where nothing went right? Anybody? Some of you guys are like, it was this morning. The devil possesses my kids on Sunday mornings and they all want to cry and poop their pants. I'm there. It always happens. They spill their apple juice all over them or something. But if you've ever been in a situation where nothing can go right, I mean, it was just the same old, same old. I mean, nothing could go right. But then something really amazing happens, and it turns your whole attitude around. Anybody ever been there? Yeah, it just turned your whole attitude around. Well, Monday, I got a call from one of my friends, David. Is David here today? David's right over here. Is Brian Langston here today? Is Brian here today? No? He's not here today. Well, anyways, I got a call from my buddy David, who's sitting over here, and he manages the Shooting L Ranch over there by Cedardale. And I get a call from David, and David's like, hey, you want to come day work tomorrow? And it was on Sunday night that he was asking me, and he goes, you want to come day work tomorrow? And I said, sure, I'll come. He said, we have to chase down and have to get some kind of rogue cows in, some cows that don't want to cooperate, and then we might drag a few. And I think he threw in the drag a few so that I would come. Even though we didn't get to drag one darn thing. But here's the thing. We started out, and we got there about 7 that morning, and we started out, and again, they're, if you've ever been to Cedardale, there is nothing but cedars in most of the area. I don't know if we have a picture of the first scripture or not, but that's what it looks like right there. I mean, it's not very fun. And the only way to really get these cattle out is to, you know, to teach them about a horn and a cake wagon. But we didn't have either. And so here we are. We're trying to get these cows in, and we go to this first place. And the night before, these cows had been looking for these cows all day long. But the night before, they found a calf. One of the calves, they got this calf caught. And they decided this was a pretty good idea, David. They stuck this calf in a trailer, and they left the calf up on this hill so that these cows would come to this bawling baby. And so they left her out there overnight, and we were hoping, when we pulled up to the gate, we were hoping, man, these cows are going to just be surrounding this bawling baby in this trailer. No. It wasn't the case. So anyways, we looked for hours, I mean, for these cows. And if you've been in a place like this, it is just not fun. I mean, this type of place is the place where you got to get off your horse and lead your horse, which is no good. I mean, I'm supposed to ride the darn thing. I'm not supposed to lead the darn thing. And so anyways, we go looking for these cows, and we look for hours in this thick brush, and no such luck. They weren't there at all. And so we decided, well, let's go to the next pasture. They have another pasture that looks like a horseshoe. And we go to this next pasture, and we get over there. And all the other cows, they had probably, I don't know how many head, 40, 60 head, 80 head, something like that, mama cows. They were already in the corral. And so, again, we're hoping that all these rogue cows, all these cows that wouldn't come in, they're just going to be standing outside the corral. No. Wasn't the case. And so we began our search, and for hours and hours and hours we looked for these cattle with no such luck. And I felt like I was on the movie Groundhog Day. Anybody seen that movie? I mean, you just the same trail. What is this, a trail ride? And we're just going in circles and circles. And I'm just thinking to myself, there is no way we're going to catch these cows in this pasture. So anyways, we're looking around, and about lunchtime, we come back to the trailers, and what do we see? Outside the corrals are there's two cows. I mean, I think there was like 8 that or 9 that was still out there, but there was these two cows and a baby standing by the corral. And I don't know about you, but that lifted my spirits. I was like, yes, we get to actually find something. There are actually cattle in these here trees. And it just kind of changed my attitude. So we try to push those cattle to the gate. Doesn't work, so we get to chase them down and rope them, which is always fun. with other people's cattle, not mine. But but we had a great time, searching after those cattle. We get those cattle, we rope them, we drag them in, and then we decide, well, let's go back to the other pasture and try to find those cows that were by that little baby calf that was in the trailer. Well, all six of us, there were six cowboys there and about 14 dogs, and even a highway patrolman airplane. I mean, we pulled in all the stops. The highway patrolman was zooming around the trees trying to find these cattle for us. Well, none of that worked. And so we get back over there by the trailer, and there they were, the two crazy cows that were gone rogue on this area in this pasture. Well, somebody yells, "There they are! There they are!" And they're headed north. Well, the problem was, if they headed north, they were going to go right into this draw that looked just like that. And so they headed north down in the draw. They knew where they were going, and we chased off after them. I mean, there was four or five of us in this draw with these cows, and we could not get them to go anywhere. I mean, they'd go one way, and then they'd turn right back around, run around a cedar tree, and come back out the other way. Well, finally, we got them pushed out of the draw, and they started running across this wheat field. I wasn't there. I was still in the draw, getting all cut up and paying the price for my buddy David. But they get to chasing these cows, and they're chasing these cows. I didn't see it, but they told me about it. They chase these cows across the wheat field, and they're headed for this fence, and the cow just bellows right through the fence. So what does David do? David bellows right after her. And David, luckily the fence had been just ripped apart, and David bellows across the fence and catches this mama cow and ties her down, and we caught her. Can I get a hand? Now, here's the point. The point is, after all the tries, after all the hours of going in circles, after feeling like I was in the movie Groundhog Day, after all the time, we caught them, and it changed our attitude. I don't know about you, but when you're out there and you're getting some work done and something goes right, I wanted to go back. I wanted to go catch something else, but I knew that it would take 16 more hours, and I said, nope, we're going to wait and soak these in. So here's the thing. Here's the point that I want you to get. Life can be the same way. Many times, things just don't go right. You feel like you're in this draw that's just full of cedar trees, and you're in this pit, and it seems like the same old, same old. Nothing goes right. Life is one big waste of time. But then God delivers you from the pit. And here's what happens. When God delivers us from the pit, he shows us mercy, he shows us comfort, he shows us hope, and our attitude changes. Amen? That's what he does. Well, here's the thing. Today I want to wrap up the series that we've been in called Pit Happens, getting out and staying out of the pits of life. And I want to look back at a scripture that we started with, and it's Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3, if we can show that on the screen. And it says this. It says, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him." Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Can we pray one more time and just ask God to bless our time? Lord, I come to you right now, and I just pray that today that you would put a new song in somebody's life today. Lord, there may be somebody here today that's dealing with the pits of life. They're going through something traumatic, something that they never would have, you know, thought of. And they're here today and they're crying out. Lord, I pray that you would just deliver them from the pit that they're in and show us what it is that we can have once we've been delivered from that pit. Lord, we thank you for who you are and what you do. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen. Amen. I like that. For the last few weeks in this series, we've been talking about the pits of life. And we've covered things like this. First of all, we learned that we can get into the pit three ways. You remember those ways? We can get thrown in, we can slip in, or we can jump in. How many of you guys have ever been thrown into a pit? Somebody betrayed you, somebody did something to you, and they just got thrown in. Yeah, how many of you guys have ever just slipped? I mean, slowly slipped into a pit. You kind of tempted and then you just slowly slipped. All right, how many times have you ever jumped into a pit? Yeah, that's the one that why do we do that? Why do we jump into the pits of life? Well, the second thing that we learned what to do when we're in the pit. You remember this? I mean, it was just the scripture that we just read. The Bible says that we're to wait patiently for the Lord. And then, once we're in the pit and we're waiting patiently, we are to cry out to the Lord. And again, that's not just an emotional cry out. It's a in-depth, in our soul, we're crying out. And once we cry out and God has delivered us, we need to continue to cry out in praise. And that's the second thing that we learned. Then the third thing that we learned about some characters that experienced some pits. Do you remember David, who had an affair with Bathsheba, and he jumped into the pit? But then God delivered him because he was good at repenting. What about Joseph? Joseph was thrown in by his brothers, as we talked about last week. But then he went from the pit to the palace, and God took him through those pits. Well, today, here's the thing. I want us to look at what we can experience and what we should experience once we've been delivered from the pit. Look at Psalm 40 verses 2 and 3 again. It says that he lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. And this is the part that we're going to focus in on. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Do you know what should result out of being delivered from the pits by God? You know what should be the result of that? We should sing a new song. Do you hear that? I mean, do you see it up there? It says that he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. And you say, well, who are we supposed to sing this song to? Well, it gives us the answer. And here's point number one. I believe there are two audiences that we're supposed to sing this new song to. And number one is this. We're to sing this new song to God. Did you catch it in that verse? I mean, it says in verse 3, it says, he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. To our God. I don't know if you remember the show Hee Haw. Anybody around when Hee Haw was like originally on? Yeah, you old folks. I like picking on the old folks. All I've ever seen is the reruns because I'm young. But do you remember the song that they used to sing? And all the, I don't remember if it was Grandpa or Roy Clark or Buck Owens, but they were like, what would they say? They were like, doom, despair, and agony on me. And then they'd talk about, they'd talk about how their wife left them or their girlfriend slapped them and, somebody stepped on their dog's tail or something. And then there was just doom, despair, and agony on me. And it was just a great look. And here's the thing. David, the writer of the psalm, he was probably feeling the same way, right? He had this old song of despair, doom. But then God delivered him. And he put a new song in his mouth. Just like the song that we sang just a second ago called Forever, we should give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. From the rising to the setting sun, his love endures forever. By the grace of God, we will carry on. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. Now here's the point that I want you to get. Because God has delivered us from the pits of life, we should be honored and we should see it as a privilege to sing a song of praise to him. Amen? I mean, I want you to think about that. You know, some of the hardest times that I've ever gone through my life have produced the greatest thankfulness. Been there? Some of the biggest losses in my life have produced some of the greatest praise. Many of you guys have gone through those hellacious times in your life as well. And out of that pit, out of that despair, out of that doom, you were able to come out the other side and know that God is faithful, that his love endures forever, that he can forgive you even though you've done some major things wrong. And he puts a new song
in your mouth. Listen to Psalm 28, verse 7. It says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with a song," or with my song, "I praise him." Do you hear the praise there? Do you hear the new song? And then in Psalm 33, 3, it says, "Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy." Shout for joy. Now, some of you guys are here today and you're saying, "Well, okay, is this a sermon on singing?" No. Some of you guys are like, "I can't carry a tune in a bucket, so why are you keeping, you know, talking about this singing bit?" Listen, it's not really about singing with your vocal cords, it's about singing with your heart. Do you get that? I mean, some of you guys need to realize, hey, when we're singing these praise songs, it's not about vocals, it's not about whether you sing good or not, it's not about whether we play good or not, it's about your heart. It's not about whether you raise your hands, but if God leads you to raise your hands, raise your hands. One of the coolest things about our church is we're free to do whatever God leads us to do. And if you're a person who likes to lift your hands and close your eyes so that you can concentrate on God, go for it. It's free. We're free in Christ. And so I encourage you to worship God, because God has delivered us from the pits of life. And we are called to praise him. And I want you to get this. If we don't praise him, listen to these verses. Here's what happens. The earth will praise him, whether we do or not. Luke chapter 19, verses 37 through 40. Christ is making his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He's fixing to be tried and crucified. And listen to what happens. It says, "When he came near to the place in the road that goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles that they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees, the religious jerks, were there in the crowd, and they said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And listen to what Jesus says. Jesus says, "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Do you get it? Do you see what's happening there? I mean, here's the Pharisees saying, "Hey, you guys just hush it down. You disciples just hush it down. You don't need to make all this ruckus. I mean, Jesus, he's all that and everything, but you just need to hush it down." You hear what Jesus says? "Listen, if I tell them to be quiet, guess what's going to happen? The rocks are going to cry out." I don't know about you, but I don't want any rocks crying out in my place. I want to praise God with all I got, because I only have one life to live. And I ought to be thankful for the very thing that he just sent his son to die on a cross for my sins. If I don't have any reason to be thankful, that's the greatest. And so again, if we don't cry out, God's not worried about it. He's got the rocks. He's got the world that are going to cry out in praise to him. So number one, our new song needs to be a praise song to God. Number two is this. We ought to sing a new song to others. I want you to listen to this. You know, here, listen to the verse at the very end of chapter verse 3. Psalm 40, verse 3. "He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God." And listen to this part. "Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him." Do you get that part? Because of our praise that we're giving to God, many are going to see it, and they're going to praise God, and they're going to put their trust in him. Here's the truth. When God delivers us from the pits and we give him praise, others will see it, others will hear it, and they will come to Christ. And so not only should we give our praise to God, but we should allow others to hear our praise and to hear the new song that we are singing. Some of you people are here today and you're like, "Well, okay, Bo, my relationship with God is private. I mean, it's just a private thing. I really don't want anybody to kind of know about it. You know, it's like, you know, I just worship in my own home, and that's all good. And, you know, me and God, we got this thing going. But, you know, letting everybody else know, it's probably not a good idea." Listen, your private worship ought to result in public praise. I want you to think about that. And you say, well, Bo, so you're saying I got to sing every song that we come when we come to church? No, I'm not saying that. Again, it's all about your heart. If you're talking to people and you're just messing around and you're not worshiping God, listen, you know, that's probably not the best type of worship. Some of you guys, you know, you're here, and here's the thing that I always have to keep in mind, and I want you to keep this in mind as well. We are a church for the unchurched. If the unchurched walk into our church and they don't feel the love of God, the joy of God, and they don't see it on your face, and you're just a sourpuss, and every time we sing a good song, you don't clap, you just sit there and go, oh, that's a banana. That dang Bo, he plays that guitar way too loud. Listen, what are the unchurched going to see? I don't want to go to a church that's dead. I want to go to a church that's alive. I don't want to go to a church where everybody there knows what's going to happen and nothing special is happening because the Lord's not working in anybody's life. I want to go to a church that's excited about what God's done for them because he's delivered us from all of our pits. And so listen, I'm not telling you, you got to sing out and you're horrible at it, because your neighbors might not like that. But at least smile. When you know, Olivia starts clapping a little bit, maybe that's all you need to do. I mean, maybe that's all, you just need to clap, okay? Listen, that's, if you'll do that, I mean, people will see it. And guess what? They'll go, man, that guy, he's really worshiping God. He's not singing or nothing, but he's just at least, he's. I mean, bring your spoons if you want. Bring that little boing, doing, doing, you know, little, what is that thing called? What is it? Uh-huh. A juice harp. Whatever that is. Bring it. Listen, you know, again, what are people going to see? Do they see us as dead, old sourpusses that just come to church because it's the thing to do? Or do they see us because we're excited? And what are our kids going to see? Here's something that I've always got to remember. My kids are watching me. Now, that's scary. I'll give you, for instance, my daughter, she's learning how to read her numbers. That's terrible. Because now when I go down the road, she can read the speed limit sign. I mean, yesterday, we were driving down the road, and she looks and she sees the speed limit sign. She goes, Dad, the sign says 55, and you're going 70. And I couldn't say anything. I couldn't say, well, I'm the boss. I'll drive however fast I want. No, I had to say, you're right, babe. I'm slowing down. Dang it. I wish they couldn't read. I'm just kidding. I'm glad they can. But here's the thing that I want you to remember. Your kids are watching you worship as well. If all you do is sit there and go, oh, I wish I was out in the, you know, pasture. I wish I wasn't here. This is just not fun. Listen, they're going to go, oh, I wish I wasn't here. I wish this, you know. They're going to hear it, right? I mean, it's the same thing. And so if they see you worship God, guess what? They're going to get it too. They might not understand everything, but they're going to at least go, God is important to my dad. God is important to my mom. And they have reason to worship him, and they praise him when they come to church. They don't just sit like bumps on a log. They actually are excited to be there. But here's the thing. Singing a new song isn't just about singing in church. It's also about singing your song outside the church, which for me, and I think it's just as important, if not more important. I can come in here and go, yeah, let's sing forever. I can sing it all day long. But when I walk out of here and I don't sing it anymore and no one knows that God has changed my life, it's meaningless. We put our face on. We get our hat on. Oh, yeah, we're coming to church. Well, listen, it's not just about singing in church. Some of us, and I don't know who it is. I'm not pointing anybody out. But some of us, we're not ashamed to sing in church, but we're kind of ashamed to sing outside of church. And again, I'm not talking about vocally. I'm talking about praising God for the things that he's done for you. Some of you guys, again, you're okay with singing in church because everybody else is doing it. You're okay with giving God praise and talking the talk and doing the thing that God would want you to do in church. But in the arena, in the pasture, at the job site. You're just as bad about moaning and whining about how sorry your life is. And here's the amazing truth. I walk up to some people, and I'm not going to look at anybody right here because I walk up to some people, and I'm like, yeah, Joe was at our church today. And they look at me like, Joe's a Christian? What? The thing is, if you can come in here and worship God all you want, but if you don't make a difference outside, nobody's going to know about it. What difference are you making? And so you and I have to walk out of here going, okay, what we learned in here ought to fill the streets out there. You hear it? And listen, I'm not telling you to go around and again just start singing weird music and yeah, let's get crazy and everybody hates your guts and they don't want to see you. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just singing praises. Instead of being the one that whines all the time and has a negative attitude about everything, maybe you need to change your attitude and allow God to change you from the inside out. And you need to be positive. You need to smile a little bit more. You need to be grateful for your family and not just sit there and whine about your family. Can I get a witness on that? Some of you guys join in on, you know, all the whining and the tearing down of people and the gossip and everything else. And no one in this world knows that you believe in Jesus or even love him. They don't know it. But again, here's the thing. The audience should be God first and others second. They need to see our praise. And listen, you should be thankful. Again, not if you don't have anything to be thankful about, listen, then you should be thankful for that one thing that Jesus came to die on a cross for your sins. You say, well, Bo, I don't have anything to be thankful for. Here's the truth about that. Then you probably don't know Jesus. I mean, I don't know how else to say it, but if you say, well, I don't have anything to be thankful for, then you probably don't know him. Because here's the truth. Once you've been dipped in his love, once you've been forgiven of your sin, once you've been washed by the goodness of him, you will be thankful. And if you're not, you probably don't know him. The things that he's done for my life, there is no way that I could not praise him for the things that he's done for me. And so here's the thing. Some of you are here today and you've never experienced getting out of the pit of your sin. Therefore, you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. That's the first thing that you have to do. If you want to have joy in your life, it's all about knowing Jesus. If you want to be forgiven of your sin and your past, it's all about knowing Jesus. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. It's not about this church. It's not about me. It's not about the band. It's about Jesus. And so again, maybe you're here today and you've never experienced that. Today's your day. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. How many of you guys, and again, we do this invitation, and we're not going to invite you to the front. We just kind of want to know the spiritual situation that you might be in. How many of you guys are here today, and you say, Bo, I admit, I don't praise God like I should. How many of you guys would raise your hand and say, that's me? I don't praise God like I should. I'm not as thankful as I should be. Yeah, all across the room. How many of you guys would say, you know what, Bo? You're right. Probably outside of this church, people would not know that I was a Christian. How many of you guys would be bold enough to say that? Yeah, thank you. That's a tough one. Yeah. All across the room. Listen, for those of you that just raised your hand, listen, thank you for raising your hand. And I want to encourage you, start small. Don't go out and start wearing Jesus t-shirts and you know, putting bumper stickers on your car and doing some weird stuff. Listen, just start small. The next time somebody wants to gripe, you be positive. The next time somebody wants to whine, you be positive. The next time somebody wants to frown, you smile. And then people are going to notice and they're going to say, well, what's different about you? And then you can share with them what God has done in your life. Maybe you need to just think about what God has done for you. And you need to ask him today to change your song. You need to go from doom and despair to deliverance. Here's what I want to do. Some of you that, you know, you're Christian, you already know Christ. Listen, can I just encourage you to pray this prayer? Not out loud, you can just pray it in your hearts. Lord, give me a new song. Lord, change my attitude. May when I walk out of this place, may people, even at the restaurant, see that I'm a different person. When I go home and I sit with my family, may people see that I'm a new person because of what you've done in my life. May I have the strength to choose to talk about what's positive and what's godly and what's good and what's true and not make up lies or be dishonest. And maybe that just needs to be your prayer right now. For those of you that, again, you're here today and you've never asked the Lord Jesus to come into your life and to change you, it can be your day today. Romans 10, 9, and 10 says that if you will confess with your mouth, in other words, you're not ashamed of saying that I know that he is the Lord of Lords. If you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord of your life, and you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And you say, well, what's that mean, Bo? Here's all it means. That you just got to say, okay, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I need you to forgive me. Forgive me of my past. Forgive me of everything that I've done wrong. Forgive me of the sin in my life and come into my life. I surrender to you. And I want you to put a new song in my mouth. Nobody's looking around, but how many of you guys maybe just would say to me today by raising your hand, you know what, Bo, I prayed that prayer just now. For the first time in my life, I believe that God and Jesus has come into my heart. Would anybody raise their hand and say, you know what, Bo, I gave my life to Christ for the first time today. Thank you. Thank you, man. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else? Thank you, son. Listen, you may be here today and you're thinking, wow, Bo, I don't know how to do this Jesus thing. I don't know how to give my life over. Listen, here's all we ask you to do. For those of you that just raised your hand, we want you to fill out an orange sheet on our guest table. You can find it as you walk out the front doors. Just fill it out. Check on there. Hey, I gave my life to Christ for the first time today, and I want to surrender my life to him. And you fill that orange sheet out. You place it in our offering bucket right there on the table, and we will contact you. It's not to give you a bunch of material. It's not to make you feel weird. We're not going to, you know, just come, you know, to your house and do all these things that'll just drive you away. Listen, we want to contact you so that we can walk through this life with you. What you have made today by accepting Christ into your life, that's the first of the many decisions that you will have to make. But it's the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And so give us the opportunity to walk with you. Don't be ashamed. If you can't start with the church people who are going to love you, you can't do anything outside these walls. And so don't be ashamed. If you're a child, if you're a mom, if you're a grandma, and you just raise your hand saying, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ, and I want him to save me and put a new song in my mouth, please fill out an orange sheet. Some of you guys are here today and you're thinking, but I don't know anything about Jesus. This is the first sermon I've really ever heard that I understand. Listen, I encourage you to fill out an orange sheet so that we can contact you and we can answer those questions for you. I will personally call you. I will personally take you out to lunch or whatever I've got to do so that we can get you involved into a personal relationship with Jesus. And so don't walk out of here without filling out one of those orange sheets. We want to help you. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to close this in a word of prayer. And again, if you have decisions that you want to make, fill out an orange sheet. Put it in the offering bucket. If you're a first-time guest, we invite you to come out these north doors and get one of our guest bags. They're just a great thing to take home. Lord, I come to you, and I thank you that you are the God of the universe. I thank you that you are worthy of our praise. And Lord, today, as we've learned, once we've been delivered from the pits of life, the things that are doom and despair, once you've delivered us from that, may we sing a song of praise to you, and may others hear it, and may their lives be changed. Lord, we give you the glory, and we thank you. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen. Thank you guys for being here.
Again, we want to thank you for listening to this message, and if you have questions, please contact us. We would love to visit with you. Again, ThousandHillsRanchChurch@yahoo.com, or you can contact us by phone, 580-216-6427. And may God bless the ride you're on.